is quite spontaneous. The mood, of course, to Vaidhi Bhakti is that there's some awe and reverence there. But nevertheless, it's spontaneous service, as in by Kunthar or wherever. Because of that reverence, there is, more tendency to follow certain rules, because the rules themselves, indicate reverence. So they'll follow reverence, they will follow particular patterns of worship. And if someone doesn't do this, he's not respecting the Lord properly, he's not following that rule. So, of course, it's all devotion, but all devotion, but still, the devotion is linked to some sort of regularity and things like this. Whereas in Vrindavan, of course, and we don't see that, the prominence is simply to do everything out of love of the Supreme Lord, but much less dependent on rules, though they have some rules. Or like they eat at certain times, and they do certain things. Less dependence on rules and regulations for circulation for serving the Lord. In any case, the rules in Bhava and Prema, if following Vaidhi Bhakti, will be slightly different from the rules followed in Sadhana Bhakti there. If one follows Raghunuga Bhakti and gets offered Prema, they'll be quite different in relation to Krishna. But nevertheless, even if one were to get Bhava and Prema for Vishnu, one may not follow exactly the same rules that they're following in the temples here in South India, for instance. They may do something a little different in their worship. They actually realize the Supreme Lord. I'll probably have examples of that in the case of the Alawars or something like that. They don't quite follow the rules, all the time in their worship of the Supreme Lord because they're in Prema.
Who are the pujaris when they worship the Lord? Because I heard that initially they require that awe and reverence. They can't just treat the Lord in the Madhuri Bhava. They should treat the Lord in Vaikuntha Muran. So they have all this respect. Other than really close familiarity. Initially, I heard in this home that pujaris should worship the Lord.
That's part of Paksharatra. Paksharatra itself is there. So we have that mood, but of course, we cannot say, then you don't have any devotion. You just do it all by rules. Obviously, even Vaidhi Bhakti, the basis of that is Krishna Anusilanam, or cultivating a relationship with the Lord. So we can't reject the devotional element completely there. In other sampradayas, there may be more emphasis upon the Vaidhi aspect. The Gaudiyas put less, even though if we follow Vaidhi, there's much less emphasis upon it. One reason, of course, is because we're worshipping Krishna and we're hearing about Krishna and Vrindavan, so then there automatically we tend to have less on reverence, etc., in the worshiping, even if we're doing worshiping Krishna and Vaidhi Bhakti. So, and it's there, it's implicit within deity worship itself, but it's, we say, somewhat relaxed within the Gaudiya Sampradaya.
Maharaj, when Krishna was present in the Vrindavan, was he worshipped in Archabhagraha form during his presence or after his disappearance?
He was worshipped.
When Krishna was present in Vrindavan, was he worshipped in the form of Archabhagraha form or after his disappearance from the planet, Krishna form is as the temple worship has been adopted?
When he's present, they were just worshipping Krishna himself or serving him directly. Now, it's said here that they were worshipping deities, these two personalities. It doesn't say whether they're Krishna deities or not. So if one is in separation, of course, not directly with Krishna, they may have had deities as such, but for instance, the people in Dwarka, then they would simply see Krishna and serve him directly, no necessity of having a deity there.
I think Maharaj, there is a say that Krishna's grandson, Vrajanava, he established all the deities in Vraj.
Yeah, afterwards.
So that means before that, not that much deity worship. Especially Krishna.
Obviously a deity is because there was Durga deities and Rukmini was worshiping a Durga deity. There must have been Vishnu deities other places. Maybe not Krishna, but other forms. You know? But if they were separated, they may make deities. So I think the Udupi Krishna was made by one of the queens in Dwarka, I think. Huh? Udupi Krishna, I think. But they may have had deities when they were separated from the Lord.
mothers, how to understand this? Is, you know, offering many elements for worshiping the deities, like you are saying 64 items, 16 items. But here, see, sometime what happened when you take the 64 items for offering, sometime out of obligation for we neglect the devotion part. But because devotion is the main, if devotion is not there, even offering 64 items is useless. It's useless. So how to understand this? Because here, if we, you know, concentrate on offering 64 items, we may neglect the devotion. Because there is an obligation. Oh, I have to offer 64 items, you know, because then I have to maintain so much purity also. Mm. But we sometimes neglect the devotion part also there. Mm. Devotion part is sometimes we neglect.
Oh, well, we have to try to balance the things out. Now, of course, the idea of offering the items, more items, as we can say, a sign of devotion in one sense, but rather than, I'll just offer one item, you know, like carelessness or whatever. So the ambition or desire to offer more items itself, we can say, is a sign of devotion. But if we can't get caught up in numbers, and we just think of numbers, and we're competing with another person, how many items we can offer, whatever, then it may lose its devotional aspect, and it just becomes competition or materialistic. So we can't, in other words, we cannot measure devotion by numbers ultimately.
Sometimes what, when our cook cooks many 20 items, 25
yeah,
items, sometimes there is no salt.
Yeah. So we can have more items, but less perfection or something like that. So. Well, that's also devotion if they're doing something for the Lord. So that's there, if they have the right attitude, of course.
But sometimes no salt, you know.
Yeah.
So how to understand this?
Obviously, we have to try to do things rather than hurry to make more items. We take care in what we're preparing.
What is another thing, like, you know, you are explaining this, enjoyment, you know, the elements. Then the material world, see, Jiva use the elements to enjoy the material world, like earth, water, fire, the body. And you are saying this also is the illusion. That means if you take that that enjoyment is illusion, that means we have to accept the activities also illusion. Whatever activities we are doing in the material world, except devotion, everything is illusion then.
Well, we can say the inspiration is illusion. The activities, the body is real, though it's something different from what we think it is. And then we have activities. Those are also real. Now, they may be different from what we think they are, those activities also, because we see they're getting karma, we don't see the karma involved, etc. So definitely there's actions involved, there's a material body involved. So in that sense, it's real, not unreal. But it's all a little bit different from what we think it is. So we're doing activities to get enjoyment, but the enjoyment itself is also illusory in one sense. This is an interaction of matter, sense objects, that's all it is. And it's not actual Atma's enjoyment, so therefore it's illusory in that sense.
There's an online question. Hari Bhakti Vilas by Sanatana Goswami is a Gaudiya text that has elaborate deity rules, which includes cleanliness, etc. Real devotion is to do what Krishna likes. Only through Shastra one knows what Krishna likes. Hence, rules of Shastra is the only way to please Krishna. Otherwise, it's simply speculation or syllogism.
Well, definitely we have to follow the rules and regulations, because we don't know, we cannot concoct on our own. If we're in bhava and prema, then definitely spontaneously we serve. But we have to train ourselves to get to that level, so we go through the rules and regulations. However, there are various levels of rules. So Hari Bhaktivilas gives a lot of rules, but we say that many Gaudiyas don't follow maybe 60-70% of those rules. And a lot of them they don't follow. Huh? There's a whole procedure, for instance, for Diksha there, that I think no Gaudiya follows that procedure for Diksha, with an elaborate ceremony with mandalas and this and that and whatever. So generally we don't follow. It's a Pancharatra procedure, but probably the Shris don't even, Shri Sampradaya doesn't follow that Diksha process also. So there are many rules there for deity worship also, and cleanliness, but they're modified according to the situation, according to the time, circumstance, etc. Some items are considered to be less part of bhakti, especially for Krishna, like nyasas, etc. So we may omit those things completely. So it, ultimately what rules we follow will depend upon the acharyas that will select those things that make a practical procedure for us.
The question may be arising that if it's so difficult, why Sanatana Goswami has to compile this Haribhakti Vilas? Because it's Gaudiya literature, and if we also don't follow, then what will happen?
Well, he did it as a compilation just to show the wide variety of things you can do in worship with all the steps involved in it. So therefore he quotes some different shastras and they say so many different things. Huh? But out of that, then we have to choose which are the ones we the one should follow as a devotee. So that's why then the acharyas, then they select certain things and then those are the things they follow.
This may be dangerous in the future.
We'll find that in any sampradaya. There's so many things are said there, but then it's not exactly like that when they do the practical things in terms of worship or whatever. If Pancharatra, if you follow the look of Pancharatra, like one of the Pancharatras, then you look at what happened in the temple, it's a little bit different. They're not doing this, they're not doing that. Look at another Pancharatra, says something different. Look at another Pancharatra, it says something different. So the acharyas decide, okay, we'll follow this particular procedure, and then they follow that.
This means future, they may water down according to time, place, and circumstances.
Well, that's why we need the acharya, so he doesn't water it down. He keeps the principle there, but he also adapts it to the particular time, what is suitable. That must necessarily be there at any time, because times keep changing and whatever, so you cannot follow exactly the same procedures at all times. A society changes. What was there 1,000 years ago was not there 500 years ago even. When Lord Chaitanya was present, it was not the same as it was 1,000 years or 500 years previously. So when Ramanujacharya and Madhva were there, and Shankaracharya, that was about 500 years before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, quite a different society at that time. And then since that time, another 500 years, quite a different society also.
That means even the cleanliness, like in Sri Vaishnava, they're very strict. The women should not go to temple in the monthly 3 days period. Mm. But in Gaudiya, we don't give much stress of that. They come to temple, but they don't perform deity worship. Yeah. They don't even come to the temple or any other function. Mm-hmm. Because now the modern age, people are going to work. But we don't give much stress on that. Yeah. Some people are criticizing us for that.
Well, we can put more stress on the cleanliness aspects to the degree that it is practical, of course. Huh? If you want to follow strictly, then you have to bathe in a river every day. And maybe a well. A well is acceptable, but no tap water. And then if it's a river, then it has to be a certain type of river. It cannot be any river like the Buckingham Canal. It has to be a particular pure river also. Yeah, it has to be a flowing river, and it has to have no foam in it, and this and that, and whatever. So there's so many rules to follow, and then you have to bathe in a certain way, you have to chant certain mantras. So I don't think many people follow. There's a few madhvas that do this, sannyasis will do that. They have to bathe in a well and whatever like that, and do the well water and chant their mantras, Vedic mantras, etc. But very few people follow.
Muslim influence, they were able to follow the strict rules, but now we don't have Muslim rule, and they know we Muslims are not breaking the temples. 5 years back, even though they were harassed by the Muslims, they were following very strictly the rules of Haribhakti Vilas.
Well, to some degree, not completely. Again, it was very difficult even then to follow. Very difficult even at that time. There was the best they could, they were following. But since that time, even let's say whatever remnants were there of the Vedic culture declined further. So therefore, more difficult to follow in the modern world.
Rāśrī śrīmad-bhāgatam ki jāyā.